Radio Prague News.
A number of ceremonies have been held in the Czech capital to mark the anniversary of the Prague uprising. An Interior Ministry commission investigating a case of alleged police brutality has recommended that one officer in question be charged. President Václav Klaus has vetoed a bill on non-profit hospitals. A number of ceremonies have been held in the Czech capital to mark the anniversary of the historic Prague uprising, which began on May 5, 1945, a few days before the end of World War II. One of the main events on Friday took place in front of the Czech radio building on Prague's Vinohradská Street, the scene of some of the bloodiest battles of the uprising. In May 1945, around 30,000 of the city's citizens fought the Nazis over 3 days, with more than 1,500 losing their lives. An Interior Ministry commission investigating a case of alleged police brutality against May Day demonstrator and human rights official Katarzyna Żak has recommended that one officer in question face criminal charges. The commission is still weighing the nature of the charges, including causing bodily harm. On May 1st, Mrs. Żak was taken into police custody after clashing with policeman Tomasz Czermak. Żak, along with a number of witnesses, stated that she was kicked and beaten with a truncheon by the officer before being handcuffed. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek was swift assessing the police action. Reacting to the latest developments on Friday, Mr. Paroubek said that he expects additional officers will be charged in the case, either for negligence or for active participation. The office of Czech President Václav Klaus has revealed that the president has vetoed a bill that would have established a network of non-profit hospitals within the country's healthcare system. The bill, which would have transformed almost 150 facilities currently managed by local authorities into public hospitals, financed from health insurance payments, was passed in April with support from Social Democrat and Communist MPs. It will be returned to the lower house for a new vote. Mr. Klaus, a former head of the right-of-center Civic Democratic Party, has indicated that he opposed the bill on the grounds that it was the wrong approach towards the country's troubled health sector. The veto comes less than 1 month before general elections on June 2nd and 3rd. Healthcare reform is considered a major issue in this year's election run-up. And finally, a look at the weather. The weekend is expected to see plenty of sunshine with a chance of light showers in places. Daytime highs should average at about 20 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Wellinger, and that's the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Pavla Horáková. In today's program, the Foreign Ministry presents the Gracias Agit Awards for promoting the good name of the Czech Republic. It's been 61 years since the citizens of Prague rose up against the German occupation. Later in today's program, we'll have some Latin American rhythms here in the heart of Central Europe. We'll have all that, plus a roundup of this week's business news, so don't go away. Every year, the Czech Foreign Ministry bestows the Gracias Agit Awards on select people who promote the good name of the Czech Republic abroad. The list of distinguished 2006 recipients includes the Czech-born former US Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, the world-class cross-country skier who won gold for the Czech Republic at the Turin Olympics, Kateřina Neumannová, and the writer and humanitarian activist, Petra Procházková. Linda Maštalíř was at the ceremony and brings us more.
Čenin Palác, home to the Czech Foreign Ministry, gathered a diverse and distinguished group of people on Thursday. By profession, they included lawyers, writers, business people, scholars, athletes, and even the King of Cambodia, and what they all share is an interest in promoting the Czech Republic. Foreign Minister Cyril Svoboda presented the Gracias Agit Awards, and just after the ceremony, I gave him the difficult task of highlighting especially remarkable people among this year's recipients.
Maybe it's not fair to pick up one or two persons, because all who have been awarded are excellent and they have done a lot for the good name of the Czech Republic abroad. So Maybe the Cardinal Spidlik is one who is maybe the most visible person because he is very active in making peace. Peace between the people, between nations, between the representatives of the different epochs of the Czech history. So he is the man of peace and he has written many books. So he is a very strong personality. And maybe Kateřina Neumannová, because she is an Olympic golden medal winner and she does represent the new generation of nice people who represent Czech Republic on a very, very high level.
The list of 2006 Gracias Agat Award laureates is international in scope, with citizens of Argentina, Austria, Canada, France, Germany, Ireland and Turkey, among others, receiving awards. The Foreign Studies Department of Hankook University in South Korea was also among those honored. At the celebratory reception, Professor Kim Kyu-chin, the Dean of Central and East European Studies at Hankook University, told me about how he came to be a leading specialist on modern Czech literature.
Actually, I studied Russian first, and the Russian literature is very popular in Korea. And then after Russian literature, I took by chance Czech literature. I studied Czech in Chicago. We propagate Czech literature in Korea. Milan Kundera, as you know, is popular in the whole world, also in Korea, very popular.
Has he been translated into Korean?
Yes, I translated his Unbearable Lightness of Being and the Book of Laughter and Forgetting, also The Farewell Party. I translated three his novels into Korean.
And you yourself, what do you teach at the university?
I teach normally Czech literature and Russian culture and also Czech grammar, Czech culture.
How many students do you have?
Well, in my department, the Department of Czech and Slovak Studies, we have 150.
And have you ever yourself studied here at Charles University?
Yes, since the Velvet Revolution, almost every summer I used to come to Prague.
You feel that you have a deep connection to the Czech Republic?
Yes, I have a deep connection. You know, I love Czech culture, Czech literature. Czech literature is very humorous.
How do you feel about being a recipient of the Gracias Agat Award?
I spent 26 years to study Czech and to propagate the Czech culture in Korea. So I'm very proud of that. I was received Gracias Agit.
That was Professor Kim Kyu-chin talking to Linda Maštalír here on Radio Prague.
Voláme všechny Čechy. Přijďte nám i hned na pomoc. Voláme všechny Čechy.
This is probably the best-known recording in Czech radio's archive, a radio announcer calling on Czechs to rise up against the German occupation. The date is the 5th of May 1945, in the dying days of the war, and the broadcast marked the beginning of the Prague Uprising. In 3 days of fighting, 3,000 Czechs lost their lives before the Red Army finally entered the city. Much of the fighting took place right here in the main radio building in Vinohradská Street. And this Friday, as every year, wreaths were laid by the main entrance to remember those who gave their lives. But not all those who helped to build the barricades in those dramatic days were Czech, as David Vaughan reports.
The famous call for Czechs to rise up is marked in a plaque that we walk past every time we enter the radio building. But if you listen to Radio Prague regularly, there's another sound from our archives that you may well have heard us play over the years at this time of year. An escaped Scottish prisoner of war appealing for help from a studio here in the besieged radio building.
Prague is in great danger. The Germans are attacking with tanks and planes. We are calling urgently our allies to help.
I'd often wondered who this voice belonged to, how he came to be here, and whether he was still alive. So you can imagine my delight when I recently received an email from Linda McSherry in the UK, who told me that the man was her father, William Gregg. He is now old and frail, she wrote, but he is intensely proud of his contribution to the battle for the radio and of the Czechoslovakian Military Cross that he was awarded for his services rendered. After our first exchange of emails, Linda went to see her father and asked him to recall some of his memories. Here's an extract from the letter she then sent me. We pick up the story just after her father had managed to escape from a German camp just on the Czech-German border with several other prisoners and had befriended a Czech family.
The family fed them and gave them clothes and drove them to the railway station where they got on a train to Prague. It was arranged that friends of the family in Prague would meet them from the train. And that was where he split from two of the others, as they thought they would have a better chance of survival on their own. The family in Prague took him and his friend Tommy Vokes to the upstairs apartment in their home, where they were fed and looked after very well. At the radio, he remembers a flight of stairs with a small door, and behind the door was a tunnel. It was at the end of this tunnel where the broadcasting equipment was kept and where he made his first broadcast. He was asked to make a broadcast to the Allied troops for help, which he did.
Send immediately tanks and aircraft. Help us defend Prague.
My father and Tommy spent their days and nights guarding the radio, and my father remembers lying on the stairs with his rifle pointing at the door at the end of the tunnel. He took messages from the Czech officials to the two university buildings which German regiments were occupying, as he had picked up a limited amount of German vocabulary. He remembers on one of the days walking through a park where children were singing English songs when he was approached by someone from the radio and asked to make another broadcast to ask all American planes who were in the area to send planes to stop a huge armored column which was approaching.
At present, we are broadcasting from the broadcasting station, and outside there is a battle raging.
Later that day, whilst lying guard, he was told that the broadcast had been successful and that the armoured column had been blown off the road. My father was awarded the Czechoslovakian Military Cross for services rendered in the liberation of the Republic of Czechoslovakia. He also received a letter from a friend in Czechoslovakia in 1945, saying that he should get the Radio Memory Distinguished Order. My father was quite a modest man and never pursued this claim.
William Gregg is one of many unsung heroes of the Prague Uprising, and it's thanks to people like him that you can still hear our broadcasts today. So on this anniversary, many special thanks to you, Mr. Gregg, and to your daughter Linda, who went to so much trouble sending us your memories.
Many thanks to David Vaughan for that report. And just a reminder that Monday, May the 8th, is a national holiday here in the Czech Republic, marking the anniversary of the end of the Second World War. On that occasion, Radio Prague will broadcast a special programme dedicated to Czechoslovak pilot František Peřina, who fought in both the battles of France and Britain during the war. And we'll also be looking at the story of how a Jewish scroll from the city of Ostrava found its way to London. Tune in to Radio Prague on Monday, May the 8th. But now, as every Friday, it's time for a weekly roundup of Czech business news, and for that I'm joined by Ian Willoughby.
The Czech Consolidation Agency, which is the country's state-run bailout agency, says over $22 million it sent abroad has gone missing. The agency transferred the money via its IMOB unit to an account in Switzerland, with the intention of earning interest on the sum, which it had done successfully a year previously. But when officials from the Consolidation Agency looked for the money, they found no record of the transaction. They're blaming Jan Schick, who was dismissed as IMOB chief executive when the disappearance was discovered. The police's anti-corruption squad is looking into the matter.
Czechs are borrowing at record levels, Hospodarska Novina reported this week. In the first quarter of this year, they borrowed twice as much as in the same period in 2004, the paper said. People are not only taking out more new loans to buy property, borrowing to pay for consumer goods has also increased markedly. Analysts say the figures reflect confidence in the Czech economy.
The Czech Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has written to Russian President Vladimir Putin in a bid to secure cheaper natural gas for Czech power stations. Currently, all natural gas imported from Russia is at the same price, but Mr. Paroubek wants a 20% cut in charges for gas used to produce electricity. A spokesperson for the Czech Environment Ministry said if the reduction was approved, the Czech Republic wouldn't need to complete more units of the Temelín nuclear power station in South Bohemia.
The management of the Belgian company Delhaize has denied media reports that its Delvita supermarket chain is going to pull out of the Czech Republic. In fact, the company said Delvita will invest over $20 million in its Czech network. It currently has 95 shops around the country and plans to open 4 more this year.
The rights to many classic Czech films have changed hands, Hospodářské noviny reported this week. The paper said private investor Miloš Petana bought Atelier Bontemps Lien, the company which owns the archive of the famous Barrandov film studios, last month. According to earlier estimates by the Financial Times, the deal would have been worth between $9 and $22 million. The archive contains around 800 Czechoslovak films made between 1965 and 1991.
The sale of new motorcycles in the Czech Republic is on the rise, despite growing competition from second-hand bikes imported from abroad, the Automotive Industry Association said this week. In the first quarter of this year, sales of new motorbikes went up a whopping 43%. 15% more second-hand bikes were imported in the same period, most of them coming from Germany and the Netherlands. Your station is Radio Prague, and the arts is up next today with Brian Sabin.
Bahia, Bahia, música mía. Bahia, Bahia, música mía. De Brasilia, música Bahia. De Brasilia, música Bahia. Bahia, Bahia.
Teresa Petrushova sings of Bahia, a state in northeastern Brazil. Samba, the official music of that country, fuels the sound of the Tam Tam Orchestra, a group Petrushova helped found in 1999 with her boyfriend Miloš Vasík and her friend Martin Kreuzberg. Vasík, Petrushova, and Kreuzberg are all native Czechs. None of the three founding members have ever been to South America, yet they've dedicated their lives to Brazilian and African music. Vasík started out in a rock and roll band, performing with a group called Laura and the Tigers before he first heard the samba sound.
I started in one Czech group called Laura Ají Tigři. The leader asked me if I can play the percussion. It was my first time about the percussion. I met my professor in Stuttgart, in Germany, and he started to teach me about Cuban music, congas and this type.
Life under the communist regime limited Vasík's access to music that fascinated him. By then an accomplished percussionist, he spent a lot of time abroad to learn more.
It was a very hard situation here. There was nothing. There was really nothing. No salsa, no samba, nothing. All what I know, I learned in workshops in West Europe. It was in Germany, in France, in Holland, when I met the people who play this type of music. When I listen first time samba, I tell, wow, what is it? But I don't know how they play it.
Vasík dedicated himself to the sound that he loved. He dreamed of starting a samba band and took a step closer to realizing that dream when he asked Kreuzberg to fill in for him in his full-time band here in the Czech Republic while he traveled. The two became friends and shared a fascination for the samba sound.
For me, it's very challenging to understand or penetrate into the world of polyrhythms and parallel rhythms and complex rhythms. And they are very sophisticated in African and in Latin music. It's a great challenge. It's exciting learning them. It's exciting when you learn to play them and playing them, actually, with other people.
The two began performing with Petrushova as the Tam Tam Orchestra in 1999. The group was quite a departure for Kreuzberg, a drummer since age 17. He played mostly in rock bands up until that point.
It's a different kind of communication than in a rock and roll band, where you have one drummer, one bass player, one guitar player, and so on. Here you have other percussionists, and every one of them composes one structure that's a multi-layer. Every percussionist has one simple part that somehow fits into the part of the other percussionist, and so on and so forth.
Soon after they started performing, the musicians found out that they wanted to branch out beyond percussion.
After the beginning, we realized that it's probably necessary to expand it a little bit. We incorporated chanting and switching instruments a lot on stage. So each of us would play three or four different instruments or drums. And we had funny uniforms and masks, and we were experimenting with all that. Now it's a six-piece where Miloš is the band leader.
After years of small performances as a percussive trio, the Tam Tam Orchestra now also features an electric bass player, a guitarist, and a flute player. The group performed hundreds of gigs last year throughout the Czech Republic and beyond. The band recently released their major label debut, titled Rhythmicon, which is a collection of melodic world music. Brazil, Brazil, le samba do Brazil. Brazil, Brazil, le samba do Brazil. Brazil. Meanwhile, the group also performs as the Tam Tam Batucada, a stripped-down, percussion-only show that's heavy on drums, dancing, and tradition.
Orchestra plays original songs composed by Miloš and Teresa. And Batucada, we only play samba batucada. We play percussion instruments, like the carnival style from Rio. That six-piece that plays batucada is expanded sometimes by the members of the samba school.
That samba school, where members of the Tam Tam train apprentice drummers, is the only of its kind in the Czech Republic. The band opened the school 2 years ago as a way of getting closer to realizing their dream.
The dream was to have the group with the drums, lots of drummers, the good and big energy, big sound, strong sound, because we love samba. And the real samba orchestras in Rio, perhaps, or I don't know, in Bahia, this type of orchestras has lots of drummers, I don't know, 100, 500 drummers.
Vasik would like to see his group grow so large one day, but they're not there just yet. Right now, more than 30 Czechs are learning how to play the rhythms of Latin America at his school. Still, with each new member, the sound grows stronger and better.
More percussionists play one complex polyrhythm, the more exciting it gets and more complex, and it just shoots you out into the universe. It's a great trip, I would say.
Sám nevídám,
brings us to the end of the show. If you'd like to hear some of the stories again, you can go to www.radio.cz, where you'll find all our stories in sound and text. The address for your questions and comments is english@radio.cz or Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. Now, from me, Pavla Horáková, and everyone here in the sunny Czech capital, thanks for listening and have a very good weekend.